If you would, please turn in your Bibles, Psalm 127. We have been looking at for several weeks on an exposing progressive secular humanism. Thanks, Joe. Exposing the errors of the philosophy, the ideology, the teaching of progressive secular humanism. And as I was going through this study, I really think every church ought to be aware of how intertwined atheism, evolution, the teachings of things that God considers an abomination, how they have become so intertwined in the daily grind, if you will, the daily life of nearly everybody throughout this world. And it's because of the influence of godless, atheistic people who hate God, hate His Word. Now, all men by nature are like that, but there are evil people who are striving to really get rid of God in the public forum, the public the way that people live. They don't want anybody to hear about the true and the living God. And it's so bad. I mean, education, K through 12, on into university, there is a push to dismantle the idea of God, the authority of the Word of God, the inspiration of Scripture, the truth about salvation in Christ. Think about this. Our media is more sympathetic to the godless religion of Islam than they are to genuine Christianity, which now they're labeling Americans who believe in genuine Christianity and who love the country, oh, they're Christian nationalists. It's a nonsensical thing. It's a new term that they're using. And I think they're setting up the justification to persecute Christians in the future. But this is what's happening. And it's shocking to me that people aren't aware of this, that they think it's just happened in the last 10, 20 years. No, it's been in the works. And I fear that churches have been like ostriches with their head in the sand. And we've got to know what we're up against. And did I tell you to turn to Psalm 127?
Yes.
Okay. There's two chapters here, very brief. And this is really my first point today, because I'm going to show you that what's really happened in our nation, and really it's around the world. And the first major thing that's happened is there's been a total breakdown of the most basic institution necessary for the survival of any society, and that is the home. Psalm 127 and 128 give you a Judeo-Christian view of the family, the home, children. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, They labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. The idea being that we have to depend on God in all of our, in our family life and in our community life. We have to acknowledge God. And a society that doesn't do that, the true and living God, is going to devolve into heathenism and paganism. And we're seeing that. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Here, children are not presented in a Judeo-Christian society as a burden to be eliminated if it's not convenient, or if something comes up and you want to kill that child, you can do it right up to birth in almost every state of the United States of America. And if you can't do it in every state, you can travel to states like California and New York, who are advertising themselves as abortion states. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. They are, listen, if you train children, you're hoping that when you shoot them forth, they'll hit the target. They'll have become independent, able to support themselves and teach these truths to their children in the next generation. And it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The idea is, children were never looked upon as a burden, but as a blessing, even as an asset, especially in agrarian societies, where really up until the 1900s, which America largely was, we had large families that, even though they may not have all been saved, I'm not saying everybody was saved, they had an ethic of Christian truth. That fabric was woven into our society, and there was a general respect for God. Well, that's gone. It's been gone for quite a while. Probably two generations, at least in our nation. In Europe, it started in the early 1900s. I mean, and late 1800s, when the effects of Marxism really began to take hold. Because that whole philosophy is anti-God. It's anti-Christ. I don't believe the Antichrist is here yet. But we've had the spirit of Antichrist since Jesus came to this earth. There's always been this opposition, and the spirit of Antichrist has been in different men and leaders. He goes on in chapter 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. What a good thing to teach in your home, in your society, in your church. It's good to fear and respect and reverence God. He is the final authority in everything. And certainly that ideal ought to be in every home. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Right there, it's teaching a work ethic in the home. That you, by your own labor and dependence upon God, you provide for your family. I think there's been a great disservice done the way that our economy has been built, where I think the I don't know if they had this in mind, but the way our economy is and the way people think, it's forced both parents to work, mom and dad. It's not good. It's not been good for our society. It's not been good for children. And we see the effects of it. But it used to be, well, my dad, my mom didn't work outside the home, but my dad worked two jobs. This was back, I was born in 59, and as long as I can ever remember, my dad worked two jobs and rarely had a day off. But he believed in providing for his family. That's missing in a lot of places today. Men have shirked their responsibilities in a lot of ways. Happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. The idea is, this is a healthy family. They love each other. They work for the betterment of their home, for their household. They're not working against each other. There's a respect for God, a love for one another. Is that in homes today? I don't know. Sad thing is, there's very few homes that are intact, where the mom and the dad are together, covenanting to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You don't see it. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. When the home is right, you will have, and I'm talking about the home in a generic corporate sense, when that's right in a society, there'll be much more peace and a lot less turmoil. But when you look at the effects of progressive secular humanism, which is the philosophy of the majority of people in education, in government, in the corporate world, it is not this idea of a home intact and parents raising their children, teaching them to provide for themselves. There's been a total breakdown of the most basic institution necessary for the survival of society, the home. And I think it's been orchestrated. I mean, one of the main tenets of Marxism, communism, socialism, is to take God out of the equation and you make the government your God, your provider, the one that you answer to. Take God completely out of the equation. And part of the way you do that is you eliminate this kind of a structure in the home. Now, I've heard testimonials, anecdotal testimonials, from people from North Korea, from communist China, from the old Soviet Union, where they go to school and the teachers would teach them that their leader is now the one that they should look to. And if their parents said anything contrary to what the party said or the leader said, they needed to inform their teacher, and can you imagine that kind of pressure being put on vulnerable little kids? And it worked. They became completely loyal to the government. And God was out of the equation, and the family. Think about how rampant divorce is today. I mean, it's not uncommon to talk to anybody, and they've got divorce in their family somewhere. I know that it's at least 50% divorce rate, probably more than that. And then think about how many kids have two parents in the home. Teresa worked in the school system. My daughter worked in the public school system. And there'd be times she'd come home in tears. She might have 24 students and only two of them had two parents in the home. I'm not saying it's everywhere, but we're talking about the Bible Belt here. One of the most conservative areas in Ohio is Lawrence County. And that's how the family has started breaking down, even in our area. Marriage is no longer considered sacred. In fact, the idea of biblical marriage, if you state it clearly, you are considered divisive and hateful. It's hate speech. It's going to be hate speech before too long. To say that marriage is strictly between a man and a woman. Period. End of story. There are only two genders, male and female. That's how they were created. God designed the bodies and the biological makeup of men to be different than women, and they too come together, and God has ordained that they procreate and bring forth children. That's the biblical teaching. It's what Jesus, the real Jesus, taught in the Bible. Matthew 19, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? How many people acknowledge the truth of that verse? Well, our schools don't. They don't believe God is the maker of man. There may be some exceptions, okay? But I'm talking about the talking point, the curriculum line. Creation, it was not by intelligent design. It came about randomly, by chance, billions of years ago. As time goes on, it'll eventually be trillions of years ago. They just make stuff up. Don't believe that. They don't believe in the creation account, or that there was a literal man named Adam, that God formed out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he gave him the responsibility to keep and dress the garden. And after Adam got done naming all the animals, God gave him a wife taken out of his side after he put him to sleep, and her name was Eve. And she's called the mother of all living, meaning that all of us trace our existence back to two people, Adam and Eve. Now with us, we actually go back to the sons of Noah, because there was only eight survivors of the flood. Noah and his family. But then you go back to Adam and Eve, back to the garden. Who believes that? I do. Without reserve, without apology. And somebody says, well, you don't know all the ins and outs of scientific theory and biology and physiology. No, I don't, but I know God does. He's the creator. I leave it up to Him to iron all that out. I believe God. And I fear that there are people today who won't stand on that. Who won't stand on what the federal head of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, said. The head of His church, His New Testament church. This is what Jesus said. Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He declared Himself to be the truth. He declared Himself to be the express image of the Father. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I believe Jesus. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Jesus outlines creation and the design of creation for the family. That's nearly been eradicated in our society. Marriage is no longer looked at as sacred. Today, it's become acceptable for two people to live together and fornicate or commit adultery outside of the bonds of marriage. It's wrong. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's what the Bible says. It's sad, but the only people want to get married are homosexuals, sodomites. They're the only ones fighting to get married. Of course, they can't. But it's like they've co-opted the idea. It's sad. It's sick. It's so perverted. And then you look at where, again, I'm talking about how things have broken down from this progressive ideology. You know, when I went to school, have you ever heard somebody say, well, 30 years ago, and you're thinking of the 70s. Yeah, I remember back in the 70s, I was growing. No, now that's 50 years ago. And then I realized just how old I am. But I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And you know, we got disciplined at school. It was still in effect. They didn't let kids run wild. There were no furries when I went to school, where kids identify as dogs or cats. And this is a thing in some areas. I'll tell you what, if my kid ever would have come home and said he was a furry, I guarantee you he'd be living on the back porch with a dog bowl. Or if they said there was a cat, which is even worse, I don't even want to go into it, what I'd do to him. But when I was a kid, if I got disciplined at school, my parents knew about it, and then I got disciplined at home. It was a double whammy, and unfortunately, I had a hard head. And I got a lot of spankings when I was a kid. It's hard for you, knowing me, to believe that, isn't it, right? But discipline of children in the home is now considered to be an infringement of the child's rights. In fact, listen, your kids can report you disciplining them at school, and children's services will come and investigate you just for disciplining your children. As a result, children grow up with little or no respect for authority. You see it all through society. Is it any wonder that vandalism and theft is on the rise when children receive no corrective discipline or restraint in the home? And they're being raised with an entitled attitude that everybody owes them something? I can't believe that our president is canceling the student loan debt of people who are making $200,000 a year and making plumbers and preachers and everybody else pay that debt. That's where it's... The president has no money in his pocket. He's taking tax money and paying. It's wrong. In fact, it's ungodly. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. He's stealing from the treasury to pay off loans that people signed on for. And have never been taught. That's the thing. Boy, if you ain't got this down yet, my mom and dad, you take out a loan, boy. You don't ever buy anything you can't pay for. And if you sign your name to something, you do everything that you have to do to get it paid. That's how I was taught. That's what I taught my kids. And something's way wrong today in this entitlement society. And again, it's because people have cast off the teaching on the home. I'll get to the next point next week, I promise. We're dismissed.